He's not on a journey. He's an ever-present help in trouble. And He'll be there. He'll be there. I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for allowing me to be here, Pam and Torin and Gary. And Brother Newbern, you've treated us royally, better than we deserve by far, and you always do. It's a prince of a man. I love this man and his wife very, very much. Your district leadership, you have something to be proud for and of. I guarantee you, I preached in a lot of districts, and you're at the very top. And God has favored you and blessed you, and don't take it lightly. And don't take it for granted. Just because it's happening, don't say, well, it's just that way all the time. Hold this man up before the Lord and pray for him and keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. He knows how to treat someone right and better than right, and he has done that. All this counsel, and even before, he's a close friend. Last night, we had a very solemn experience by going out with Dwayne and Jeannie Jones, and they treated us very royally as well, I'll tell you. It's great to be in God's house. Great to be in God's house. I'm glad I'm serving Him. I'd rather be in God's house than anywhere, hadn't you? Anywhere. I remember when I was a kid going through service and sitting in church, and evangelists would come through our town and our church, and they would make statements that, as a little bitty kid, I'm not too smart now, and I surely wasn't then, but I thought the questions they asked, two or three questions, were pretty stupid questions. They would ask, how many of you folks would rather be in here than in the best jail in town? Well, I thought that was a stupid question then. I think it's a stupid question now. I don't know of too many folks that hadn't rather be just about anywhere than in the best jail in town. And then they'd ask another stupid question. How many of you would rather be here than in the best hospital in town? If you've ever tried on one of those little hospital gowns, one size fits nobody. You just know that you'd rather be almost anywhere than in the best hospital in town. Why don't we compare apples to apples? I'd rather be in God's house than in the king's palace. I'd rather be in God's house than the White House. I'd rather be in God's house than anywhere. For there is the presence of the Lord, the fullness of God. Hallelujah. And where He is, there is no sadness. He takes us where He wants us and brings us into His holy place. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was heading out of the church the other day, and a lady came to me and said, I have this prayer that you might want to read. And I got away and read it. She said, I've read it, and you might want to read it. So I thought you might be interested in this prayer she gave me the other day. She said, Dear Lord, so far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a whole lot more help. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we haven't been out of bed too long, so maybe we can pray that prayer this morning. We haven't had those things happen. I'm going to try to cut. I've been up here looking through these notes and trying to take notes out and put them aside and try to get you some time so you can vote and get on the road home. So I'll do my best to do it. No promises, but I'll do my best. I'll do my best. Just a couple of 3 years ago, as I looked at this memory, it brought tears to my heart and face as I thought. One district council, I stood and they read my dad's name. And the next district council, I stood and they read my mother's name. And heaven is a little sweeter than it's ever been. There are more folks over there that I know now. There's an old song that says, I'm acquainted with folks over there. And many of you are acquainted with folks. All of us are acquainted with folks over there. Names that have been read out of this book. And as I began to think about this service, and Brother Newbern mentioned this morning would be the memorial service and the communion service, and I began to think about what would be appropriate. How do I need to go? Just want to preach for a little while on one word, heaven. One word, heaven. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's shouting ground. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. I like those former things that he mentions that are passed away. I am so glad we are nearing the day when we will be there. The dictionary says that heaven is the abode of God. And the Bible verifies the definition for in almost every book in this word. In the Old Testament, heaven's mentioned as the abode of God. Nehemiah 9:13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments, true laws, good statutes, and commandments. David recognized the existence of heaven when he said, The Lord looked down from heaven. He shall send from and heaven and save. O God, look down from heaven, and from heaven did the Lord behold the earth. There is no religious doctrine anywhere in the world that does not have a better place than this world. A true or a good religion. You talk about the religion that we have. Even false religions think about a happy hunting ground, or a warm spot in the sky, or a pie in the sky, or some place that is better than what we have right here. We as Christians know it as heaven and the heaven of heavens. Hallelujah. And what's going to make heaven heaven is that God is going to be there. There is no doctrine any more clearer in the Word of God that there is a hell and there is a heaven. And there is a salvation to take us out of this world into the glory world. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, Lay up not for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Scores and scores of times you hear this word heaven mentioned over and over. Heaven is not just a state of mind. I don't believe that those folks that left here from our presence in this past year are just in another state of mind. I believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus asserted that it was a definite place, for he said, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hallelujah. What a place he talks about. It took God 6 days to make the heavens and the earth, the firmament, and all of the wonders of the universe. And he's been gone now almost 1900 years. Can you imagine what kind of place he's building for us? It will be a place of beauty. It will be a place of glory and of splendor. And I began to wonder, where is heaven? Where is this place? I can see far, far into space. You can see. The telescopes have seen far into space. They can tell us now when a flock of blackbirds are flying over our house by the Doppler radar systems. We send space stations into outer space where we place men and women and then bring them back to Earth and send them back again. We're not told the exact location of heaven, but we are content to let God alone know where it is. In Deuteronomy 26 and 15, we read, Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people. We read that Christ was carried up into heaven and that Stephen looked steadfastly into heaven. And my question is, how far away is heaven? How far do I have to go to get there? Let's take just a little trip, an astronomical survey, and we can see and try to find that city four square. Let's look for a moment. Let's take a journey from the sun and pass Neptune, our farthest planet, and come to Alpha Centauri with its two suns and 26 times as much light as we have in our solar system, but there's no city there. Let's go a little farther, journeying by the speed of light. We can come to the polar star that is so far away that it takes light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, 46 years to reach Earth, but we can find no city there. Let's go farther. We come to Vega, which is 440 times as much light as our solar system, and yet there is no heaven. Let's go a little farther, and we hurry on to Alcyone with 12,000 times as much light as our solar system, but we find no city there. But perhaps heaven is not as far away as we are looking. Perhaps we're looking just a little too far, for I read in God's word that it's so close that when Jacob had a dream one night, a ladder came down and angels descended and ascended and began to talk to him. It's so close that when Daniel was in the lion's den, an angel stepped out of glory and closed some mouths of lions. It's so close that when three men were down in the fiery furnace, a fourth man stepped down, and the man said, didn't we cast three? And I see four, and it looks like the Son of God. It's so close that shepherds on a hillside heard angels saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's so close that Peter was asleep in jail, and an angel stepped by and unlocked a gate for him to enter into the city. So close that Paul and Silas could sing, and their songs could raft around the throne of God, and God sent angels to shake a jailhouse and set them free. So close that the vilest sinner can come to a Calvary and find Jesus Christ, and the harlot's blood can be made pure, and the alcohol can be made clean, and those who are lost in sin can find Jesus in a moment. They don't have to travel forever and ever. In one moment's time. Well, let's look at the city for a minute. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21:16, the city lieth foursquare. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Depending on your measurement of a furlong, it could be between 1,400 and 1,500 miles. According to whichever measurement you choose to take, it's still a big place. Still a big place. 1,500 miles this way, this way, this way. Thank God. I'm looking forward. 12,000 furlongs. Let's look at the 15,000 miles for a moment. The holy city will be a cube of... I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You already know this. I'm just refreshing your memory and letting you know that there's a better place than where we are right here. 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. The walls of the city, 144 cubits, are approximately 216 feet thick. Such a city will dwarf all the great cities of this world. Ancient Alexandria was only 30 furlongs in length. Jerusalem, 33 furlongs. Babylon, 120 furlongs. New York City measures 400 furlongs. London, England measures 325. The base of this city would reach from Maine to Florida and from the Atlantic Ocean to Pikes Peak in Colorado. It would cover all of Great Britain, Ireland, France, Italy, Spain, Germany, Austria, Poland, European Turkey, and half of European Russia taken together. Paul spoke of the third heaven, and we have hints that there's more than just one level in the abode of heaven. In our glorified bodies, we will not be limited as we are now. There will be places that we can, you like outdoors, you can go anywhere in a thought. In a thought. The fastest thing in this world is not light. The fastest thing is not an atom. The fastest thing is a thought.
For I can think in an instant to the farthest place there is in this world. In one thought, you can be wherever you want to. This city can be subdivided into 1,500 sections, a mile high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long. Every cube it is there. We can easily see the old timers used to sing, and they talked about plenty of elbow room in this city. This world was not their home. And I told them last night, down here in this pioneer's banquet, this world is not anybody's home. We're all just passing through here. When I think of the beauties of that city, no wonder the songwriter got inspired and wrote, "We'll go sweeping through the gate by the blood of Calvary's Lamb, saved from every stain I am. Hallelujah, I'll go sweeping through the gate." F.H. Lehman got excited and said, "Where the gates swing wide on the other side, where the flowers ever bloom on the right hand, on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room." And the old timers might not have had all their theology just exactly right, but if you'll calculate it, they are exactly right on that. We'll all have plenty of room. Hallelujah. And when my name is called on the other side, I'm going to need all 50 miles. Hallelujah. You think I get excited down here? You wait till I get on the other side. Glory to God, glory to God. 3.5 years, years ago, they cut me open, did 6 bypasses. That's the reason I've slowed down so much in preaching. But I thought that might be it. This might be the time. And if it is, in fact, the business, to tell you the truth, outside my family and my church, when I woke up, I was a little bit disappointed. I was ready to go. Ready to go. There's a place better than this one. Hallelujah. It's a place of joy. It's a home. Glory to the Lamb. Heaven is eternal, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Whatever you like is going to be there. If you like a city, it's going to be a city. Beautiful place. If you like the country, you're going to be a country. That's what he says. You talk about a country. There are some folks that are such city slickers, they couldn't tell you which cow gives white and which gives black milk. Buttermilk or sweet milk, they just don't know. There are some folks that know nothing absolutely. I went to school with a boy from New York City. He went along the river. We were going swimming in the James River up in Springfield one time, and he was more, 18 years old, 19, he was more interested in picking up little wiggletails. He had never seen them than he was going swimming. I felt sorry for him. I feel sorry for these folks that have grown up in ivory towers. They know nothing about hay mown down and smell that sweet fragrance coming across. Nothing. But you see, for those that like the city, heaven's going to be a city. For those that like the country, heaven's going to be a country. But time has a change in all of us. There will be a city forever with everlasting joy, with everlasting light. There will be no shadows. There will be no lonesome valleys. There will be no dread loneliness in the night. There will be no blindness. There will be no deafness. There will be no cripples. There will be no deformed arms and legs and feet and toes. There will be no questions. There will be no devils. There will be no temptations. There will be no little boys hurting for life. No little girls longing for a mama. And we'll have the Son of Righteousness forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. I'm headed toward a city. Everlasting salvation. In Genesis, the Son's created. In Revelation, the Son's not needed. In Genesis, Satan is victorious. In Revelation, Satan is defeated. In Genesis, sin enters a human race. In Revelation, sin is vanquished. Forever and ever. In Genesis, people run and hide from God. In Revelation, people are invited to live with God forever. And He will be our God, and we shall be His people. In Genesis, people are cursed. In Revelation, the curse is removed. In Genesis, tears are shed with sorrow for sin. In Revelation, no more sin, and no more tears, and no more sorrow. Hallelujah. You say, that doesn't excite me. You know why? Because you're not going there. If you're headed there, that'll excite you. Glory to the Lamb, glory to the Lamb. In Genesis, the garden and earth are cursed. In Revelation, God's city is glorified and the earth is made new. In Genesis, the fruit of the tree is not to be eaten. In Revelation, we can eat of the tree of life, for it brings healing to the nations. In Genesis, paradise is lost. In Revelation, paradise is regained. In Genesis, people are doomed to die. In Revelation, death is defeated. Hell is conquered. Satan is forever, forever vanquished from us. Well, glory. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. I take that back about shorten this off a little bit. Well, if Abraham went looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, where would he look? Where would he go? He went looking. If we were to ask him, Uncle Abe, where would you go? Where would it be? Would you look at Rome? Rome is a city of seven hills with all of her ruins. Rome is the city that was supposed to be forever and ever and ever. But if you look at Rome today, you see the ruins of ancient Rome, and Rome is not the eternal city. Let's look a little farther. Where would you go? To Babylon? Babylon had walls 385 or 65 feet high, 87 feet thick, 56 towers, 100 polished gates into the city. But I read in this book where it says Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Where would I go then? Do I go to Washington, D.C. with its marble structures, with its beautiful buildings, with all of its towers and all of its memorials? No, sir, for one of these days, Washington will crumble in the dust of the earth. Well, then do I go to New York City with Times Square, with the Empire State Building, with the World Trade Center, with all of its mass and with all of its sin and with all of its shame? No, sir. New York City will fall and will fall, and it will be under God's judgment someday. Then do I go to London with Big Ben, with Buckingham Palace, with all of its pomp, with all of its pageantry? No, sir, for London will fade in the fog that surrounds it. Here we have no continuing city. Well, then where do I go to find a city that's going to be the city that I'm looking for? I can tell you where it is. It's in my heart and I'm headed there. Hallelujah. For I know that one of these days, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed and we will be lifted out of this world and carried into another world. He will wipe all tears from our eyes. There have been times in the past few weeks I've wept and wept and wept and said, Lord, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm too human. I don't have what it takes. I just don't know, oh God. And somehow, some way, he comes by and whispers peace to my soul and says, it's going to be all right. I can make it. But one of these days, he's going to take the gauze of love and wipe every tear from my eye, and there'll be no more sorrow and no more death, because sin cannot enter there. Sin's going to be out of commission. Hallelujah. No more sorrow. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. Dwight L. Moody said, you wait until I take one step, until you take one step across that golden threshold. Just one step. And your feet begin to slide down that satin smooth finish of that golden avenue. Don't tell me we'll sit there like a dead church member. No, sir. We'll say, I made it. I've made it. I've made it. I've made it. Hallelujah. I just came by to tell you that there will be no more heartaches and no more separation. One breath will turn every invalid into an athlete. Hallelujah. When you get to that city, one breath will be a breath of a million flowers. We'll sing and shout and dance about. The Lamb will dry our tears. We'll have a grand homecoming week the first 10,000 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I get there to that land, every home is a mansion. The caretakers are angels and the citizens are saints. The city directory is the book of life. And if you belong there and if your name is there, the city belongs to you. It has 12 foundations, each one of a different stone. Streets of pure gold, and that's just for starters. Hallelujah. That's just to begin. For when you get there, and all the things you see, just came by to tell you, every step is a thrill. Every meal is a banquet. Every day is the rapture. Every hour is a jubilee. Every moment is a triumph. Every person is holy. Every wart turns into a beauty spot. Every clouded ear turns into a 20/20 receiver. Every deaf ear turns into a state of art receiver. And every eye turns into that vision. Every cancer cell is left behind. And death is gone. Sorrow is gone. Pain is gone. Parting is gone. Suffering is gone. Sin is gone. Death is gone. Hallelujah. And we'll sing. And we'll shout forever and a day. Well, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. The old timers used to sing that song I mentioned a while ago, Sweeping Through the Gate. A lot of folks ask me, do you want to go camping? No, I'm not interested in camping. I camped out the first 18 years of my life in a two-room shack. That's all we had, two rooms and a path. I'm not interested in going camping. And they used to sing those stupid little songs, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I'm not interested in a cabin. He said I had a mansion over there. Hallelujah. I'm not interested in getting in by the skin of my teeth. My pastor used to tell me, Brother T.J. Gocher used to say, I want to be going so fast that when I get to the pearly gates, I can throw on the brakes and slide right up to the throne of God. Hallelujah. That's kind of the way I feel this morning. It could happen in any time. It could happen at any moment. Glory to God. We are going home. When I get to glory and the angel greets me, let me tell you, I'm going to stop and look at that pearl. One gate of solid pearl representing all the sorrows, all the heartaches, all the suffering, all the tears, and every little oyster that makes a pearl knows that there's a grain in his side. It hurts him, it hurts him, it hurts him. So he secretes and secretes all of that liquid and fluid that goes around it and forms that pearl. We've been forming some pearls, 12 gates, hallelujah, each one of a solid pearl. And we're going to say, thank you, Jesus. It will be worth it all just to see his face. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, I want to get there to hear my mama scream one more time when the anointing hits her. Just a little quiet lady, little bitty Indian lady, quiet. But I want to hear her scream to the top of her voice. I made it, I made it, I made it. I want to see my dad, the first Bill Martin. Don and I know him. Many of you knew him well, well, well. I want to see him. Why has this man ever met in my life? A man that never told me wrong in advice. I might ask him a question. He might not answer me today. He might answer me next week. I get so disgusted with him. Then he'd tell me, well, I wouldn't do anything. Wise. Wise. First time he started to preach, the devil tried to kill him. A drunk hit him head on. Kill my mother. God raised her back to life again. And she lived another 50 years. My dad's kneecap was burst. They said he'd never walk. God healed him. 1983, another drunk hit both of them. Similar situation. They put bars in his leg. Looked like a ladder going down his leg. Femur burst into at least 14 different pieces, not a piece joined. Messed his other heel up. They said he'll never walk again. He laid in a hospital bed and said, "Lord, would you let me dance on these two legs one more time?" And I was preaching a sermon one Sunday night. They'd helped him to the platform, sitting there in the chair. And all at once, in the middle of my message, it sounded like a war whoop coming from behind me. And I turned around and looked. And he was standing to his feet, dancing on his feet one more time. One of these days, I'm going to tell you, when the trumpet sounds and I get on the other side, there'll be no more bars and no more pins in his leg. He's going to come dancing down the main street of glory saying, "Son, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you made it. Hallelujah." Oh, you talk about a homecoming. You talk about a reunion. You talk about a gathering. We're going to have a gathering of all the saints of all the ages. There's never been a general council. There's never been a district council. There's never been a homecoming like we're going to have when we get there. Oh, hallelujah. But what's going to make heaven heaven is, most of all, I'm going to see him who was and is and ever shall be, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. He's right now. He's after a while. He's all the world to me. Oh, glory. 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 When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in, Charles and Yvonne de Gaulle, President of France for many, many years, parents of a daughter with Down syndrome. Her name was Anne. They gave her love. They gave her care. At her funeral in 1948, one of the very few times that anybody ever saw Charles de Gaulle cry, they walked out of the funeral of their daughter. De Gaulle took his wife's arm and said, "Softly come. Now she is like everybody else." I read, or watching television one time, in the Special Olympics, that the kids were running, doing their best, and one little girl crossed the finish line first, and when she crossed, she began to scream to the top of her voice. She screamed and she screamed and she screamed. The judges came over to her, the counselors, the helpers, the workers came over to her, and they tried to say, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" They tried to help her up. "Quit screaming, quit talking." The parents were up in the stands, and they saw her. They saw her hollering and hollering and hollering. They made their way down. They ran down the stands. They ran out on the track where she had run and crossed the tape. The finish line, and they went over. People were trying to quieten her down, trying to stop her. They said, "Let her alone, let her alone, let her alone, let her alone. Let her say what she wants to. It's the first word she's ever said in all of her life." Let me tell you, one of these days, when I step across that city and I begin to scream, and somebody says, "Quieten him down. Quieten him down. Shut him up. Don't you do it." It'll be the first word I've ever said in glory. And he's going to say, "Welcome home, welcome home, welcome home, welcome home." Hallelujah. I'm longing to go. I'm longing to go. Any moment we could be leaving here. Would you stand to your feet across this room? Are you ready? Are you longing? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus," John cried. "This is our day to shout the victory. We're going home, saints. This is not the time to tuck your head. This is not the time to bow down. This is the time to lift up your head and rejoice. Our redemption draweth nigh." Praise him this morning. Lift your hands and love him. Glory. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Would you play that? I will meet you in the morning just inside the eastern gate. Would you sing that? Let me just take just a minute or two. If this is okay, Brother Newbern, I don't want to cut into your time. I want you to sing that one verse, and then I want you to sing the second verse. It says, if you hasten off to glory, linger near the eastern gate. And let's just take a minute. Let's just take a minute and turn to some folks around you and hug your neck and say, by the grace of God, folks, we're nearer than we've ever been. I need you like I've never needed you before. We need each other like we've never needed each other before. I'm ahead with you. Sing that first verse and sing the chorus, and then we'll get to the second verse. I want you to turn the folks around, hug their neck.